reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to listen to him. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat the fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I, dying of hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead, but has come back to life. He was lost, but has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when this your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' The father said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always, and everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel is about four figures. The first is the Father. As we repeated in prayer several times in the responsorial psalm, the Lord is kind and merciful. This is what the prophet Micah was describing in the first reading. What God is there like you, who pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who doesn't persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency, and will again have compassion on us, stamping underfoot all our guilt? And we see just how kind and merciful the Father is, even when his son treats him as dead asks him to have his inheritance now, as if his father had already croaked. And after he wasted everything, the father never stopped loving him. And he looked out for him. And when he saw his son coming back, this father, who was probably about 60 years old, probably not with Reebok running sneakers, but sandals that don't really support your heel, in a toga, which would kind of be like watching the sisters run fast across a field. There he does. He books it. So much did he love his son. His son is probably all filled with what you'd get filled with in a pigsty. He was probably totally filthy. And the father went on out as the son was preparing his rehearsed speech. Father, I've sinned against you, heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. And it didn't matter. Even though he was covered with crap, to use a technical theological term, the father embraced him. Get the finest robe I have and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, which was a signet ring. It was the way you signed checks in the ancient world. In other words, today, giving a signature stamp to a son, saying, even though he squandered half of my property, I'm trusting him again with my inheritance, with my fortune. I'm trusting him with it all. Put sandals on his feet. Slaves could never wear sandals. It was a sign that they were a slave. The fact that he didn't have any sandals on had shown how this son had left being a son and become a slave to his sins, a slave to his impulse. But he was going to be given real freedom. It wasn't stick him in the basement where I can spank him for the rest of his existence on earth. It was, I'm going to treat him with real freedom because I love him that much. And after those three gifts, greatest gift of all, go get the biggest, fattest, juiciest calf we have and kill it. We're going to have a feast. Because the father recognized his son was dead in sin, but had been raised from the dead through mercy. He had been lost and he had been found. That's the father. Our father remains rich in mercy. The second figure is that son who was so blind to his father's love that already in his house he didn't appreciate it. It took him to hit rock bottom in that pigsty to recognize that his father was at least good. Even the slaves in my father's house have more than enough to eat. He had never really appreciated who his father was until that time. Then he came back just being asked to be treated like a slave. He really wasn't able to relate to the father as a son except by title. But then he discovered in the father's mercy just who the father really is. The father had never loved the son because the son was a goody two-shoes. The father had never loved the son because he had never done anything wrong. The father loved the son because the father loves. And it was only through that experience of seeing the mercy of the father that the son was able to recognize it. Third figure in this parable is the elder brother who was angry that the father was treating the younger brother with mercy. He couldn't even relate to his father. He couldn't even relate to his son. He still hadn't gotten the message of the father's love. When this son of yours couldn't even say my brother. When this son of yours returns after having wasted your entire inheritance, you do this for him. But you never gave me squat in order to have a feast with my friends. He was always tremendously envious. He didn't get the picture either. And the father pleaded with him to come on in. We don't know how that returned. But it was because of this older brother that Jesus told the parable. Because that's precisely what was in the heart of the Pharisees who complained that Jesus, the icon of the Father's love, was actually hanging out with sinners and eating with them, trying to share a communion with them to bring them out of their pigsties into the Last Supper, into the eternal wedding banquet. said that there were four figures. The fourth figure in today's parable is you and me. How do we relate to the Father's mercy? Do we actually know the Father's merciful love? Do we experience it? Do we recognize that in many parts of our life, we, like that younger son, treat God the Father as if he's dead? It might not be globally like the prodigal son, but it might just be in parts of my life. Lord, when I go to work, this is what I have to do. If I don't do it this way, I might lose my job. Do we treat the Father as if he's dead there? Do we treat the Father as if he's dead in our leisure time? Do we think that that time's mine? I'll give the Lord one out of my 168 hours at Mass on Sundays. I'll give him 5 minutes a day before I pray or whatever. But do we treat him practically as if he's dead in large parts of our life? Do we treat him as if he's barely alive, barely breathing? Or do we have that relationship with his kindness and his mercy throughout the day, recognizing that every breath we take is a gift from a Father who loves us? Do we resent the fullness of God's mercy to those who have received it? I'm not sure if you've been paying attention. One of the debates in the Republican primary has been, and I'm not taking sides with any candidate or anything else, but it's a very interesting point. So many pro-life Republicans don't want to give Mitt Romney the time of day. Why? Because he was once, in our state, a pro-abort governor. He campaigned to be a senator as a pro-abort candidate. True enough. But then some of the people, they're not even Catholic, are saying, hey, isn't the pro-life movement about trying to make converts? Shouldn't we be happy that somebody who used to support abortion now vigorously, at least in his words, says he's pro-life and he's going to do these things? Isn't that what we're looking for? Aren't we looking for conversion? Or do we say, once upon a time you supported abortion, you will never get my vote? That political way of doing things is often the way we relate to others. We'll remember what they did in high school. We'll remember that once they were in jail. It doesn't matter who they are today. But whenever anybody asks about them, we bring up these things from the past because we don't really want to rejoice that they've totally changed. One of the reasons why we do that is because we ourselves haven't recognized that we're murderers. We committed deicide. By our sins, we killed the Son of God, and he, kind and merciful, forgave us. Anything else anybody ever does is small in exchange with that. It's only when we recognize who the Father really is that we can, as Jesus says, become as merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. The whole season of Lent is for us first to recognize our need for God's mercy, second, to come and receive it, and third, to share it and live in it, bringing others to experience the same joy that comes when God the Father runs out to greet us and embrace us in the sacrament of confession, where he covers us with his Son, no matter how dirty we've been, where he gives us our dignity back to be able to do things in his name and makes us truly free. And then finally, doesn't kill the fattest, juiciest calf, but serves us lamb that takes away the sins of the world.